everybody, and welcome to another edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Gerard, and joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. We got LSU's win over Louisiana Tech to go over. Wasn't, I would say, overly impressive, but hey, a win is a win. Not everybody in the top 25 got one. We'll talk about that too, but pretty much everyone else that was supposed to win did so, and a lot of them did handily. Some look like they were trying to make a point with voters. Of course, we'll get into that as well. But before we do, want to check in with Tommy and Daniel, see how you guys are going, see how you guys are doing, and what's going on. I don't know. I mean, we got LSU's win to talk about. It's, I mean, put a smile on your face when you're talking, but I don't know. We'll go over that, I guess. But how are you guys doing otherwise?
Good. Good to be with you. Good to be celebrating another LSU win, 2-0. Well, actually, I guess we're 1-0 by the Brian Kelly monitor that we're going off of this year. So 1-0 again. Happy about that. Probably not the not the performance that LSU fans wanted to see after what was a very exciting, inspired game against Clemson. Disappointing performance against Tech, but it's a win. Take care of business, and I'm happy to be talking about it with y'all.
Yep, any day with an LSU win is a good day, so we're happy about that. It wasn't exactly as convincing as we would have hoped, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But we move forward, and like you said, Scott, take it 1 week by 1 week and go 1-0. So we've done that twice, and we'll look to continue that in a big home matchup against Florida this week. Did get diminished by Florida's loss to USF, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but still definitely a rivalry game and one to get excited about for all the fans. Maybe it'll be a little bit cooler, and hopefully the stadium will be packed and ready to go for this one.
It is a Saturday night in Death Valley, the real Death Valley. So I would expect it to be packed, at least for the first half, unless LSU just finally shows us what we've been expecting from all this talented roster that they've put together. And they just blow the doors off of the Gators in the first half. But I guess that remains to be seen. I don't know. We were favored by 35, and I think by halftime we were only up 10 to 0. And of course the, we finished 23-7. It would have been nice to get a shutout, although we still would have been about 12 points shy of the experts' picks. But I don't know. I mean, it did look a little uninspired, like you said, Tommy. It seemed lackluster, but I mean, they weren't really in the game. We just couldn't really find a groove on offense. I mean, obviously we were the talented team. But I don't know, I don't want to disrespect La Tech either. They weren't just lucky. It's not like we just couldn't put a drive together for our own reasons. They seemed like they game planned us well. I don't know, but they did have some good plays on defense. They didn't really do much in offense. I don't even think they had a snap in the red zone. So kudos to RD. But yeah, there was just something with our offense that didn't find really a second gear, maybe till the second half. But even then, man, you could just tell we were kind of held back by ourselves. BK kind of said that much. He again, it's already the second game of the season. He says, it's on the coaches. We got to coach better, and of course, the players have to execute better. But I don't know. What would you say, Tommy? I mean, I feel like it's, if our offense would have got going and we'd have got up by a lot, then I think we'd have a different conversation right about now,
Yeah. I mean, I think it started the first drive with that pick from Nussmeier. I wouldn't say Nussmeier or anybody really on the offense played terrible, but it was definitely not their A game. That we did not take advantage of blown coverages that Louisiana Tech gave us. The run game was sputtered, you know, like just not what we saw against Clemson. I think we rushed for 87 yards total between all of our backs. And one of them came in a big burst play from the freshman Harlan Berry, which was, that was, you know, a positive just to see that burst of speed that we've looked for since recruiting him. But overall, on the offense side of the ball, at least, very lackluster. I would say that I really liked what I saw out of Barry and Brown, Nick Anderson, and Aaron Anderson. I thought all of our wide receivers looked good. You know, some had some drops that some drops and some miscues from Nussmeier that really need to be cleaned up. But it didn't cost us anything in the game. I think that what this really shows me, you know, when you look around the landscape of college football and compare, like, I think we're a good team. I don't think we're an elite team. You know, this is not the second coming of the 2019 LSU team. This is not the 2011 LSU team. I think we're a good national competitor, even with this performance against Louisiana Tech. But I also just don't think that there aren't a lot of great teams this year. The parity, and you know, there's a lot of people talking about the SEC's down. Oh, look what happened now. Now everyone can pay players and the, you know, the sport is come back to earth and the SEC's not dominating anymore. Maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe not. Maybe the SEC is down a little bit this year. But you know, you look around and you see, Bama losing last week and then Florida losing this week. Yeah, so I think that we're still in a good spot. I would have liked to have seen us, you know, really put it on Tech, but bright spots. Thought the defense looked good. We're still flying to the ball, which I love to see. I haven't seen that in an LSU defense in a really long time.
Yeah, the positives for me, what you just said, the defense followed up an impressive game one against Clemson with another really stellar game, basically flummoxing Louisiana Tech at every turn, both in the run game and the pass game. Their longest completion of the entire game was 9 yards until the very end, when it was one busted coverage that let a 33-yard touchdown kind of go over our heads in the fourth quarter. But other than that, we were swallowing them up. The Weeks brothers were doing their thing. D-line was getting after their quarterback. And then the secondary led by Mansoor Delane and DJ Pickett was getting a lot of snaps opposite from him. They were basically blanketing their receivers for the most part. So really fun to watch and shaping up to be the best LSU defense we've had in a good number of years. And then on the offensive side, it wasn't, like Tommy mentioned, the worst performance ever, but it just was kind of like, bleh. Like, what are we doing here with some of the play calling? A lot of kind of inside runs behind an offensive line that was not getting much push. And the offensive line was, frankly, kind of getting thrown around by Louisiana Tech's defensive line, and that's not what you want to see.
An offensive line that lost, you know, really probably the best player on that line early in the game in center Braylon Moore.
Yeah, on the first play of the game, he got rolled up on his ankle by his own guy, and they're saying it's a high ankle sprain, and he'll probably be out for a couple of weeks, which is not good. We needed his veteran leadership. And then later on, Tre'Davious Green got hurt as well, kind of another almost self-inflicted injury, and his is looking – I heard they were doing an MRI today, and they're thinking he might be out for at least a month or two. Maybe not season-ending, but not a great diagnosis there. So that's not what you want to see.
4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Not what you want to see, especially losing them against Louisiana Tech when we probably could have won that game. Well, we did without those two guys. So unlucky, and hopefully the injury bug doesn't continue to bite us there. And then Nussmeier really didn't look himself. He started slow in the Clemson game, and he started slow in this one as well, kind of missing targets, overthrowing that one interception. He just kind of lobbed it up there, and it was picked off. And then after that, he settled in a little bit towards the second half, but really seemed not to be pushing the ball downfield very much, which is we haven't been able to get those big chunk plays. We only had the one long run by Harlan Berry and then another one by Xavier Thomas, who they continue to try to work into that offense in various ways. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You could see he was getting a little tired towards the end of the game. They're like, okay, when he's in the backfield, he's going to get that kind of pop pass, like kick out, right, sprint. But it seems good for a couple gadget plays a game. I think you got to comment on that one, Tommy.
I like that. I like that wrinkle a lot, to be honest. I like the little, I guess you call it like an orbit motion zone play that they run. They ran a lot of they probably ran it 3 times against Clemson. I think they ran it a little bit last night. I like having him as a back, opposite of Caden Durham or whoever you got as the true running back. I'm surprised that it's, you know, it's as effective as it is just because that, you know, it's not, he's not like a true running back. Mm-hmm. But I like it. And I think it, you know, I think it's an interesting wrinkle. It reminds me of like, you know, he's like basically a scat back. Like he's got really good hands. He put him in space and he makes moves. So I would kind of encourage him to keep building on that. But I think I do see your point of like, it kind of is the same thing. But I mean, he had a really good run, you know, just kind of like an outside zone where they had him, lined up next to Nussmeier. In the backfield.
Mm-hmm. And then that did bail us out on a couple third downs, which is actually a kind of nice point from last night. We were 9 of 16 on third down, and I think held Louisiana Tech to 3 of 13. So we did well in third down, both sides of the ball. That's going to be important against Clemson. I keep saying Clemson against Florida. Nice work there. Another maybe point of concern is the red zone offense, which we didn't get to see a ton of, but we did lose Tre'Dez Green, who was one of, if not our biggest kind of red zone jump ball threats. And then you saw it at the very end of the game. We had to think first and goal on like the 3-yard line, and we only came away with a field goal. And it would have been nice to get 7 on the board and stretch that lead out, even in garbage time. It's like we kind of ran up the middle a few times in a row, and we don't have the Jaden Daniels ability for the Nussmeier to kind of sprint out, get to the corner and dive in for the touchdown. So we need to find more creative ways to plug it in for 7 there going forward. What's your take on all that, Scott?
Well, I would say, I mean, I agree with what you guys said. I think the offense is just not, it doesn't seem like they're all on the same page. I understand we had some, you know, turnover at the center position at the very beginning, but even after that, I mean, DJ Chester started what, 13 games last year. So I don't know if you can put it all on that. I think maybe Nuss and some of the transfer guys, or maybe just, I don't know, maybe they just don't have their timing down. He seems fine with Aaron Anderson, right? I don't even know if we heard Chris Hilton's name yesterday, but I mean, it'd be great to get him in some long balls downfield. But again, you know, Nuss probably needs time for that play to develop and air it out, which he didn't really have. Again, La Tech seemed to know what to do, and we just, yeah, I don't know, we scraped by. We you know, completely dominated the game otherwise, but I would say they've got to figure out quick, right? It's like, it's good that they are trying to work some of these running patterns with Johnson, and it's like they've got to develop the run game. Obviously, we've got Barry and he looked good, so maybe that's a new wrinkle we can look at. But I mean, they've got to find something to click, because we can't just like trudge through the first half and expect to, if we're down, come back in the second half when nothing's been working in the first half. I mean, if we wanted that, we would have hired Les Miles again, right?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because to me, watching this game, I was like, it confirmed it continued to build on what I said last week. And I'm like, this feels like a 2014 LSU team, 2013 LSU team. I honestly don't hate it. I like that feeling, because say what you will about Les Miles, and like, I mean, the man had problems. The offense was anemic, and we had, I mean, the toss dive, every LSU fan knows all about these, the tropes of Les Miles, but you could always count on that. You could almost always count on a defense to come out there, fly around to the ball, hit people in the mouth. And we really lost that with O and with Brian Kelly in the first couple of years. So I'm, you know, it's kind of like pick your poison. Like, would you rather have a high flying offense and then, you know, kind of hit or miss on defense, opportunistic on defense, kind of like the Saints during their heyday. To me, even in the bad parts, like this feels like LSU football to me, of like letting the smaller opponent hang in the game a little bit longer than they should. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gave me a little vintage nostalgia feel watching. It is a little mild.
Maybe you want to eat some grass.
Maybe you want to eat some grass. Maybe you want to go tailgate on the on the parade ground, like do all the stuff that they won't let you do anymore.
Yeah. Although if you're going to play that style of football, you have to minimize your own kind of mistakes. And we mentioned the interception by Nussmeier. We didn't have a great game with the penalties as well. We had 9 penalties for 77 yards. Louisiana Tech was getting called left and right, especially for pass interference. I guess that is one good thing. That's kind of, that's kind of hidden on the passing game stats, where it's like they negated a bunch of deep balls because they were holding and doing the PI. So, I mean, if we can keep drawing those with our speedy wide receivers like Barrion Brown and Nick Anderson, Chris Hilton, then I guess all the more better. Just need to kind of clean up our own mistakes, including for Nussmeier taking 3 pretty bad sacks where he either should have just ran for just a couple yards or just throw it away.
Throw it out of bounds.
Because you can see he gets a little stressed out in the pocket. He does his little kind of spin move in the backfield where he tries to spin out of pressure, and he almost spins back into like the oncoming DN from the other side and then just tucks it and goes down. We saw that once against Clemson, and 3 times against Louisiana Tech is not a great sign.
That last sack by Nussmeier, I mean, that makes me double back. Like, was Nussmeier terrible last night? I don't think he was terrible. That last sack he took is absolutely unacceptable and might be the worst play that he's put on film this year. It was so bad. Like, it's terrible. I agree.
And this is a Florida defensive line that caused fits for Nussmeier last year. That was the big thing. They had like 7 sacks or something. I was there at that game, and just every play he was running for his life. So we need to get some communication with the offensive line. Hopefully Brian Kelly's in those O-line group meetings this week, and just figure out what are we going to do in this situation. If there's nothing there, throw it away and move on to the next play.
Exactly. Yeah. Just live to fight another series, because even if we put up the same kind of effort against Florida, I know their defense would be better than La Tech, so I don't want to be in another 17-10 situation with Clemson, like we had with Clemson against Florida. Although, oh man, they just looked rough. I was able to watch a little bit of that one, and I do feel better about our chances before I watched our game. But anywho, yeah, I mean, I'd say the defense, you know, kind of held it. So, I mean, Barrion Brown seems like he's so close to just breaking one, right? It's like if he and Nuss can be on the same page with the timing of things, it's like, I mean, he had the, 90-something receiving yards.
Yeah,
which was more than anybody. So he's definitely there.
Barrion Brown had 94 yards.
Yeah. So we've definitely got some weapons. We have just got to get them the ball in space, and enough of this, you know, just trying to put piece drives together, scratching and clawing. I don't think it should be that hard against La Tech, but apparently is, especially if you lose your starting center. But I don't know. Anything else on that one, because I mean, at least we started off the homestand with a win, and now we have Florida coming into town. A little bit tougher challenge. After that will be Southeast Louisiana. And then the Tigers take this show on the road. So I don't know, man. There was a little bit of lackluster all around college football. There were some cakewalks too, you know, Ohio State Grambling 70-0, Miami 45-3, Bethune-Cookman, Oregon 69-3 over Oklahoma State. But I watched a little bit of Texas too, and they're kind of like us. They just couldn't really get much going. San Jose State's not really known for their defense. They were just scrappy. And, you know, once again, Texas just did not look good. I think there was like 3 series in a row where San Jose State coughed up the ball, and that's what gives you the score that you see on paper that looks, oh, Texas handled business. They did, but it wasn't pretty. So I don't see they don't have, you know, nothing is given. Same with Clemson. They were down to Troy at half.
Yeah.
16-3, no less.
Of course,
they came back and turned it on and won. But other than that, I mean, there were some upsets, right? Like South Florida and Florida. I did watch that one. I don't know, man. The Gators just could not really do anything offensively. Meanwhile, South Florida just kept gaining momentum with every stop that they had, and they just put a drive together, ran it down, and kicked a field goal at the end and won it. And, I mean, you should have seen the look on the Florida sidelines and the fans' faces. It was just like our Troy moment, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
But this is like they're supposed to be their redemption year, right? This is Billy's last year, possibly. So how is he losing to South Florida? I guess maybe they're a decent team. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see how Florida comes out, because they were definitely not expecting to lose that. Maybe they had their eye on us, but now they have us, and we'll see what happens. I feel good because it's at home. It's Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. LSU should have some wrinkles fixed out this week, because it's, you know, we're going to know who our offensive line is, and we're gonna know who our the rest of our team, our starters are going to be. So game plan for that.
On the Florida game this week, you have to give the edge to LSU, considering Saturday night in Death Valley, and we're 2-0. We've shown that we are a good team with some potential flaws. Florida, maybe the same way. They had a strong first game, 55-0, admittedly against Long Island University, who I believe is only like their second year, like at the FBS level. And then the second one, obviously this week, the big upset, South Florida going into the Swamp and beating them on that last second field goal, 18-16. So their offense has struggled a little bit, kind of like ours. So we may see another kind of defensive matchup in this one, which would be the third straight game like that for LSU. Similar teams in a lot of ways. Their quarterback, DJ Lagway, who's a true sophomore, pretty dynamic both in the air and on the ground. He beat us last year in the Swamp, so LSU would be looking to get some revenge for that. And I think we can do it. Just have to, like we kind of harp on always, minimize the mistakes, cheap interceptions, penalties, etc., and not get too pushed around by that Florida defensive line. If we can get one explosive play, 7 on the board early, then I like our chances. It's going to be a tough matchup. If we do get the win, that's pretty sweet, because then we got Southeastern, and after that, I assume we'll be sitting at 4-0 and kind of let everybody else tear each other apart before kind of the heart of the SEC schedule. And then, I mean, 4-0, you're looking pretty good, even if you drop a couple towards the back end to make a run at the playoff. If we do lose it, though, then I mean, it's kind of uphill sledding. But let's do that kind of 1-0 mantra again. I'm thinking fairly low scoring again, maybe 24-17 LSU. LSU's favored by 6.5 right now, which seems like maybe kind of a lot. I don't know. And then the over under at 50.5, which, considering how the offense has performed last week, that might seem kind of high as well. But I think we'll get it done and just move on to the next week. Any predictions, Tommy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm very concerned about the offensive line. I think that the loss of Braylon Moore is very big. I mean, nothing against DJ Chester as a person, but I just don't think he's SEC caliber at the center position. I hope he proves me wrong. I've already been proven wrong this season on the podcast, picking LSU to lose to Clemson, so I welcome it. But I do have concerns about that, especially against an upgraded Florida defense. That said, that Florida team looked bad yesterday. I think they're coming into a hostile environment. I think that what we saw from LSU was just a little bit of, you know, foot off the gas, kind of a little bit of a sleepy team. I look for us to wake up this week. I think this is one that's been, I mean, Florida's always circled on the schedule. Even in the 1-0 kind of mantra that Brian Kelly's, you know, putting out for us, I think that this is the game that we're going to get up for. And so I look for LSU to win. I think we'll be a little bit improved as far as scoring goes. So I like LSU to win like 35-24.
That would make for a more entertaining game, at least, I think.
Yeah, I wish I could have that much faith in our offense. I just don't see either team scoring that much. I'm thinking it's going to be like another, I don't know, probably like a 23-10 LSU, something like that. Maybe we'll have more yards. You know, we'll dominate, but maybe just won't come away with as many points as we could with all that production. Kind of like we did against Clemson, but that's my guess. And I don't know. Did you guys see anything else this week that, you know, as far as the other games? I mean, there were some upsets. I don't know if it was an upset, but I know Oklahoma beat Michigan. They were just ranked a few spaces higher. But, yeah, Oklahoma looks pretty good so far. You had your Ponies lost to Baylor. Dave Aranda, I mean, it was like 48-45, two overtimes. Very boring game.
Another one was, I was going to say, Arizona State going to Starkville to play Mississippi State. I caught the very end of that one because that was like just after LSU finished. Mississippi State scoring like a 60-yard touchdown to go ahead with like 30 seconds left. So, and I think they ripped the goalpost down and carried him out the stadium afterwards. I was like, that seems maybe a bit excessive against Arizona State, but they have been kind of starred for some success in Starkville for a little while. So can't hate that too much. And so maybe the Bulldogs are on their way up. So good win for them. And then, yeah, that Oklahoma game, Bryce Underwood for Michigan did okay, but a little bit out of their depth in a hostile environment, and Oklahoma looking like a good team that we still have to end our schedule in a few months.
I totally agree. Congrats to Mississippi State. I think the amount of, and it's not just directed at them, but just in general, like, I mean, I don't know what's up with college kids these days. It's like they've never watched college football before and don't understand that upsets happen all the time, because the amount of like field rushing that we see, it's just obscene. It needs to be stopped. I'm generally not for like the SEC when they, you know, fine you for rushing the field. But when I see like rushing the field against Arizona State, or I mean, honestly, when we rush the field against Ole Miss, I'm like, it's just not, you know, it's just embarrassing. So that's my take on that. As far as Oklahoma and Michigan go, John Mateer looks legit. He'd been hyped up earlier this year. The model, our proprietary Talking Tigs model, when it looked at the season, it marked that Oklahoma game, last game of the season on the road in Norman, as a trouble spot for LSU. I looked at it and said, I don't know about this robot. I have to say that our, you know, AI overlords actually, you know, maybe they know a little bit more ball than me, because John Mateer, I think he's going to be legit. I think he'll be tough competition for us at the end of the year. But the good news is we have, you know, a whole year to prepare for that. But all that being said, impressed with their performance on the national stage against a Michigan team, and a Bryce, you know, and the most hyped quarterback probably in, or at least the most hyped freshman in college football, Bryce Underwood. So yeah, another good week of college football. Those are my takes. I rest my case.
And Florida losing, there were some rumors that College Game Day might be going to Baton Rouge for this one, but I think Florida losing deterred them a little bit, so now they'll be heading to Knoxville for Tennessee versus Georgia, which is a good matchup. That one coming at 2:30 Central, meanwhile LSU's at 7:30. And yeah, although we got the compromise, the SEC Nation like crew coming to Baton Rouge, which is kind of meh. I guess Marty
Smith.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Laura Rutledge, Tebow.
Yep.
Who else on that team? Roman Harper.
Harper, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could have gone there. There's another, well, I don't know. We got A&M going to Notre Dame. Notre Dame, it's been 2 weeks. They've already had a bye. They have no wins. But I don't know. They remain number 8. Like all these other teams, like, you know, we talked about Oklahoma. They now have 2 wins. Florida State has 2 wins, but they're all behind Notre Dame, who hasn't won a game yet. So that's why I just like these rankings. You went off earlier, Tommy, about something. I think these rankings are just bogus. But you do have South Florida going into Miami, so we'll see if South Florida was a fluke against regular Florida, or if Miami is definitely the real deal. Because if South Florida beats Miami at their home, well, I think we know that Miami's we're probably going to hop off that hype train. But I'd say, yeah, the Dogs at the Vols is probably the best game of the day besides ours. I mean, some other ones to look at, though, I would say Clemson going into Georgia Tech. We'll see if Clemson is good or if Georgia Tech can save me from, because they were my pick to be like a dark horse and maybe the playoff is number 12 or 11 or something. Mm-hmm. One other one I was going to say, though, where was it? Arkansas against Ole Miss.
Yeah, you know, that'd be a good game.
Ole Miss is doing pretty good so far, although they did have their hands full on the road against Kentucky. I think they won by 7, but Kentucky gave them
closer than the scoreboard shows.
right. But then, you know, Arkansas is quietly 2-0, so we'll see what happens there. Any other thoughts on that, guys?
One thing I was going to say is you're talking about the rankings and the field storming. I mean, LSU is number 3 in the country in the AP poll this week. And I was like, are we the third best team in the country after what we saw against Louisiana Tech? I don't know. I mean, I'll take it, but it's kind of tough. And then I was like, if we beat Florida and we beat Southeastern, we go to Ole Miss, probably it still is the number 3 team. Like if they beat us, are they going to storm the field against LSU in Oxford? Probably. That would be kind of weird considering like the number of field stormings that we've done. And what was the last time a team stormed the field against LSU? I'm not quite sure. I'd have to check the archives on that one.
I don't know, but the alternate is to just do what Clemson does. They do it every game.
Just the peaceful walking really on the field.
They stormed the field when we beat them.
True.
People on the field.
Yeah, or at least there were Tiger fans dancing and Clemson is in zone. That's
cool. One other one. I mean, this is just kind of me looking ahead or not looking ahead, but just kind of Alabama versus Wisconsin at 11 a.m. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that tough loss to Florida State to start off with. They bounced back, beat UL Monroe. Was it 73-0? Yeah. They won that game.
Ty Simpson had a coming out party. I think he threw like 17 passes in a row, which is a school record. 3 of them were touchdowns. So I don't know. Maybe he found his groove in a cakewalk game like you're supposed to. I think we just had a little bit stronger opponent than we were intending. And we just, again, our offense was not on the same page quite yet. But yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's used to those 11 a.m. kickoffs. Maybe they could catch him off guard. Who knows?
Yeah, that's kind of. I just want to monitor. I'm going to be monitoring that game. Am I picking Wisconsin to go into Brian Denny and win right now? No, but I think that I think this is an important one for them to really show, like, okay, which team are you? You know, let's see how they look against Wisconsin, which is not they're not ranked. They're not a great team, but they're going to be better than ULM.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't know. I think that was about it. I mean, we've covered Florida. We've covered all these other games. I mean, LSU, we did have a commit flip, unfortunately, but I don't know.
I got flipped to Ole Miss. I don't even remember his name, but we can ignore.
Yeah, I think he was a 4-star. He was a lineman, wasn't he?
Speaking of recruits, one potentially big thing this week in the game against Florida is 5-star quarterback Elijah Haven in Baton Rouge or Dunham School, number 1 quarterback in the country, 2027 class, will be like taking his official visit, like to be at the game this week. So it would be pretty awesome if Nussmeier and the Tigers could put on a good show for him and hopefully get him to stay home and commit to the Tigers, because there's a lot of kind of storm brewing online about him going to Auburn, going elsewhere, a guy who may be in it for the money, who knows, but we'd like to secure our QB future after Nussmeier, then whoever comes after that, especially after we lost Bryce Underwood. So, yeah, watch out for Elijah Haven. Maybe catch a glimpse of him on the sidelines during the game.
Good call out.
Because LSU hasn't really had a top-rated quarterback, like, actually start or play for a while, right? Everyone that we've had success with was basically, aside from Nuss, was a transfer, right? Like, as far as, like, coming in, but he, Nuss wasn't a five-star, I know. So, yeah, that would be nice. Who knows if Brian Kelly would even still be there when this kid would ultimately commit. But I did hear something. Speaking of commits and transfers, did you hear they're going to change the transfer portal to basically just one small window, like right after bowl season? There's going to be like a 15-day window, and that is it.
I like that.
Exactly. Same here.
Just one chaotic session.
Yep.
That'll be 15 days of just fury.
Yeah. I mean, it would make guys have to decide right then and there. Cause there was guys like Burrow who I don't think he pulled the plug. And I mean, he waited until after the spring game until he could kind of get an idea. All right, well, I'm probably still not going to be the starter in the fall. So I'll pull the cord now.
Yeah.
I guess we would miss out on that, but
although he was pretty portal.
Yeah.
Like I think he was just a straight up grad transfer.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Which I think made it a little bit different.
Yeah, you're right. So I did see that. So I wanted to mention it. Yeah. I think it'll be good. This whole portal's open. Okay. Now it's closed. Now it's back open again. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Just, either leave it open or just have it one set period and that's it.
The only thing that I think is kind of, what is that going to stop the tampering? I don't know.
Possibly,
because that's the big issue right now.
Right. Well, you got to figure if most of the guys that are transferring, most teams, right, will probably have some sort of bowl game or they'll be in the playoff or whatever. Maybe they'll be too busy to do that. I don't know. But
and I guess you're not going to like tamper with a guy for 12 months if you've only got 2 weeks of an opportunity. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't. It's not. Yeah. It's the portal window is not right around the corner. So I would think that's kind of what the rule change is trying to stop, because we know it's out there. The recruitment never ends with the portal as it is right now.
Nope. Anything else?
I think that's it. Let's get 3-0, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, Saturday.
I just want to give a shout out to Aaron Anderson, who is consistently, he's had two great games, against in this season. I want to give him a shout out, though, for probably the hustle play of the year so far. On Harlan Berry's, 43-yard run, Aaron Anderson flies up, outruns Harlan Berry, and then makes a big block to extend the run by probably 5 to 7 yards. Love seeing that out of a wide receiver. Reminds me of a Jarvis Landry type play. That's what we want to see out of LSU football, and keep it up.
Nice.
Exactly. Well, I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talk and Takes. Tune in next week. We'll definitely have our Florida recap as well as all other college football and any news should any trickle out this week. But until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll definitely talk to you next time right here on Talk and Takes.